stage is set. The bright lights are on. Welcome along to Obviously Fight Talk episode 65. If you're watching us, you will see we are joined in studio by Craig Coco Coakley. Number one Muay Thai fighter in Ireland. Is it a safe thing
supposed
to say?
Supposed to be, yeah. Supposed to be.
Somebody off camera might disagree with that a little bit.
I'd say there'd be a few off camera.
But so we're going to mix it up a little this week. We're not going to go with your normal running order of the show. But if you are watching on YouTube, comment below. Hit questions up for Craig or any of the guests on the show tonight as well. So the rundown of the show is Craig Coakley is with us. We're going to be joined by Aaron Boom Boom Brown as well. Johnny Jitsu will be just getting on. And we'll be hit up by AJ McKee, the Bellator hot prospect, along with another Irish Bellator hot prospect I'm sure we'll be talking about. But before we do that as well, a shout out to Fight Star Ireland, the Fighter's Choice. Everything you need under one roof, including drugs. CBD oil. Hit them up, my back feels great. And MMAMix.com for all your MMA needs. Check them out. They're obviously good because they're with obviously Fight Talk. So, as always, Robert Pallon's with me.
Yeah.
I thought I'd match your weight this week. Yeah. You know what I mean? But let's get straight into it. Craig, you're in with us. Big news. Yeah. You were joining us back in episode 9, yep. Which is in March. So, just over a year. So
I'm still going good.
Still going good, alive. And they're still pretty as well.
Still pretty.
Yeah. You're being confirmed on a big show. Capital One going down on the 8th of July. In the City of West, you're taking on
Steve Malady,
and what a lot of people will say will be the number one.
He is. So that's why I'm saying probably second best. Steven's name is huge in Ireland. He's probably the best toy fighter to come out of Ireland. He's been ranked on Lumpini. He's world champion. He's endless fucking stuff. Like, he's fought Sancho, he's fought Rungavi, he's fought all the greats. But again, you want to be the best, you have to beat the best and come in.
And is that, in a way, like, when this fight came around, I know we were talking just off air of possible fights coming up and stuff like that, but is this why you wanted this fight as well, to cement
to
that number
one?
Yeah,
that's it. Well, I want to be number one. I think I'm number one. I think a lot of people think I'm number one as well, so I'm going to prove it, July 8th.
And just from when we had you, just to go back to when we had you on before, we were talking about you were due to fight on Cage Kings
in
March, the Dublin show. You were due to fight in England as well, and we sort of spoke a little bit about that in episode 9. If you want to listen, check out the backlog. But you were... You were due to fight, the guy's name has escaped me.
Jeremy Nakazawa.
There, that's him. Yeah. That's him. Said beautifully, better than me on the night. when we were coming into that, we were saying about how exciting Cage Toy is and that sort of angle. And at the time, we were saying you were a hot... I think we introduced you as one of the hot prospects of Irish Muay Thai. Now you're the guy on the poster selling the show.
Yeah.
Does the pressure change in that sense?
Oh, no, I like pressure makes diamonds. I think I strive under pressure. I think when the lights come on, I perform a lot better.
Would you say that's the biggest change since the last time? Like, you were here about a year ago. Would you say that's the biggest change, that you gone from like the prospect to... Yeah.
No. I think I don't know, to be honest. I don't see it as a big change. I don't see any difference in myself. I don't think any different in myself. I'm still the same. I'm still hungry. I still have a long, long way to go. So it's not just fucking, I've made it now. I'm best in Ireland. I don't want to be the best in Ireland. Best in the world.
Is that, that's something as well that's coming, that you fought recently over in Bolton and Yoko. That's something now. Is this potentially, is July 8th the last time you'll see you fighting in Ireland?
I hope not.
You know, before you go off, because you obviously might have to go off to fight for European world titles.
Yeah.
When you win them titles, you'll come back and defend them here in Ireland. Yeah. But potentially, this might be the last time, certainly 2017, maybe 2018, you might get a chance to see Coco do his business.
Hopefully, I love fighting in Ireland, you know. I bring a crazy old crowd with me, so there's nothing better than walking out to that madness. But, so I hope not, but you're right in what you're saying. It'd probably be my last big fight in Dublin. Yeah.
Again, the card is absolutely stacked here. Again, Martin Horgan does what Martin Horgan does. He's put it together an unbelievable card. And Martin has a great way of dripping the information to people as well, and he just sort of drops a few names and
keeps people want more. We'll say
that's 100% there. And I was surprised with the announcements he's made. I was almost surprised that your name came out that early in the drip factor, if you know what I mean, because like you're probably going to be like, you could put you, and again, I don't, this is no disrespect to regional shows or anything like that, but you could put you on any card, be it in Belfast, Galway, Cork, Dublin, and you're going to sell the show.
Definitely.
So it, to me, I know Topic is on the card and stuff like that as well, but to me, I was surprised that the cards were shown that early. Did that sort of surprise you, or is it an announcement to push the card and go, look at this fucking card?
No, I like the fact that he announced me early, because then it gets a bit of buzz going for my fans, and it gets a bit of buzz for the people around my area. You know, it's Dublin's my hometown, you know. My lady's from Dublin, but he doesn't fight out of Dublin anymore, so that gets the buzz going for me as well.
The D1 Mafia. And as well, end of the year as well, there was a documentary made about you as well.
Yeah, for the guy, Carl Pass, so condolences.
Yeah, that's, I actually seen him when I seen him. We're kind of like, Jesus Christ. But the actual documentary itself, it's up on YouTube. I think it's just titled Craig Copeland Documentary.
I'm
not pretty original. What's that show about?
It was just a look inside my fight camp on the Last Cage Kings. It's pretty good.
How did that come about? Did you just approach it and say, I want to make a documentary? Or
no, one of my head coaches, Tony Olin, it's his friend Carl is, and Tony was talking to him about doing something like a little promo video or something. And then he came up with the idea, oh, we'll make a documentary, why not? On your progress and on the walk up to it. So
that's something when we had name drop, get ready for it, John Wayne Parr on the show. He was saying that's something that with MMA, that there's all these embedded programs and who Conor McGregor's girlfriend is, what his dog's name is, you know what I mean? And same with John Bones, all these guys, you know everything about them because all these documentaries. Yeah. So in a way,
it's promoting yourself.
It's brilliant, but it's brilliant as well for us, the fan, you know what I mean? Because I might know you a little more than the guy average who's fan. Sitting in the front row, but it's great to see the insight behind the fighter. Yeah. And I honestly think why am we doing this?
Make a documentary. No,
if you look at, I know it's going to be a sensitive spot when I say this, Keane Cowley has the Journey, and that's doing huge. And again, that's pushing both the guy who's making the documentary, and it's obviously pushing Keane Cowley's name out there, and it's letting people know more about his background. And that's exactly what yours done. You show just walking around where you're from as well, just chatting to locals. It was hilarious. It was. Just everywhere you went.
That's the vibe.
The lad stopping in the car. That was the best. Vibe. Yeah, that was the best.
That's the vibe around town, you know. Like, everyone knows everyone. Everyone supports everyone. So no matter, you walk down the road and see about 15 people.
And do you find though, even from that, like, that people now know more about you? Because, I with stupid things I've done, I've done and stuff like that, and then obviously the big thing wasn't stupid at all, it was Don't Tell the Bride, like, and I get loads of L ones coming up to me at shows and chatting away to me, and they're going, oh, you're really better, and they sort of know you that little bit more. So do you find with the documentary that maybe people are a bit more,
a little bit, like, I wouldn't say people would be coming up to me and say, oh, you live here, but people would come up to me and say, like, oh, I've seen the documentary, it was very good.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be like, oh, you're my best friend.
Yeah. No, it's just, it's the insight. And I think it's deadly to build the character. And I'd love to see more of that, especially like the likes of you now leading up to this, the likes of a blog and a regular, like, I know you regularly post stuff up on Instagram and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But like the little things behind the scenes, I think it's brilliant because it's going to push you. And as John Wayne Parr said, Muay Thai just seems to be screaming for that guy, that personality.
Yeah, actually,
and like he thought, you know, what McGregor has is he has a country behind him as well when he's doing that. So why can't you have the country behind you and excel you to that? You know what I mean? Not to that level, but that fan base as well. Because like Rob is inner city head as well. You know what I mean? I'm checking, left the wallet upstairs. It's all right. But you know what I mean? It just. You'd have that huge support, and you see it at every show you go to. When there's a yellow T-shirt that says Lionheart on it, you're nuts.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
They're all that crazy. So you can't beat the inner city folk, can you?
No.
They're all mad, but
talking to a South Suburb boy
and an Ashbourne hair. Stop with you.
But like again, like the is that something that you'd look to do more? Is to sort of have would. Insight behind?
I'm still getting comfortable in front of the camera. Let's just say that I am still kind of getting comfortable from the camera. But yeah, it's something I'd definitely be interested in doing again.
Did it make the camp harder that you had to focus? Not focus. I'm sure they made it comfortable, but you had to, you know, you had a camera in front of all your.
Not necessarily. Not at all. To be honest, it wasn't constantly there. You know, we had set days. You probably come once a week.
Yeah.
Maybe once every second week, and we do a couple of hours shooting, and that'd be it. The way you caught it made it a little bit easier. Someone to talk to, boy, just sitting in the back. You know, man, that's not fun. But yeah, kind of made that a little bit easier.
That was something I noticed in the documentary as well, was the weight cut, the torture of the weight cut. Is it a torturous weight cut for you on the regular? Or?
Yeah, it's not fun. I'd walk around 70-odd kilo, maybe 71, 72, and I make 61. So, yeah, it's not a fun cut. I wouldn't leave 5 or 6 kilos the last bleeding 2 days the way people do. I get myself down to a reasonable weight and just hold it there and maybe cut 3-4 on the day, max.
And is it, do you water load or what sort of way do you
water load, yeah. I'll water load the week before, so I'll start off on the Sunday before, maybe the Saturday before, depending on what my weight is. And then, yeah, cut salts, cut sugars out.
Standing on that scale, as you see, weight made. What's the dream meal then? What's the.
We go Nando's. Every single
time. Cheeky Nando's. Cheeky cheesecake is what we have.
I never had a cheesecake in Nando's.
It's a rip, but it's worth it.
I didn't even know that existed.
Gooey caramel cheesecake, hit that up. I'll check it out. That's some good shit.
One of the things that I thought was weird was in that documentary, your opponent didn't show up late because his flight was delayed, but you had to wait to weigh in. Why couldn't you just weigh in?
Because
to be there to see it.
Especially like gyms like that. So I was against a guy from Nasa K, which is a really, really famous gym in France. And it's like no bullshit, you know what I mean? They want to see what weight you are. They're thinking you're probably going to fucking scam them or something.
And Instagram
you know
will
mean?
Do
yeah,
all.
No, fucking papers. Well, saying a lot to them, just let me weigh in. That was horrible. Like that happened me a few times at this point, but you kind of get
piss you off, like
no, it's part of the game, isn't it? Like you just have to do what you have to do.
And then, so the year you've had, your life has changed quite drastically. Family
I've
life.
Had a baby, I've had a little girl, Lily May, with me girlfriend,
And has that almost like a set of goggles? Has that focused you even more on the career?
That's some fucking serious motivation. Now, straight, that is some serious motivation. Because you're not just thinking about you anymore. You're thinking about what it is to make something for this little girl now. But yeah, it's great. It's a serious experience.
Then the fight itself, that fight on its night as well. A lot of people, you don't get out of first rounds. You did that night, but you didn't get too long. It was the second round finish, if memory serves. Elbows from hell. But you've had quite an active year since you were with us.
Yeah.
So out of that, like, have you noticed as well? Like, obviously, all the stuff you put up on Instagram with Colly and stuff. Your striking, do you feel it is improving constantly? Because you're only, like, what age are you, Greg?
24.
So you're only like a pup and you're evolving still. Do you even notice it, even looking back at footage from a year ago?
Yeah, I do, actually. That's actually, I was only watching a video of myself the other day. It came up on, them 1 year things, your memories.
Yeah.
Literally a year ago, I didn't extend fully on shots, you know, or it'd be stupid little things like my footwork wouldn't be right for shots, but now I'm starting to see that a lot more. And my movement as well. My movement's got a lot better and I've been working a lot more on southpaw. I've been working everything, to be honest with you. So I've noticed a good improvement in my skills altogether, all around.
And
it's not going to stop either.
Winding into July now, where do you see the game plan here? Is it, are you focused on anything that he does, or is it all going to be
I never focus too much on what they do. I'll always try and improve myself and make myself better so that I don't have to focus on them. Like, why care about what they do, you know? I'm going to go in there and fight my fight, not his fight. Stupid going in there have a plan of what he does good or what he does well. And work around that, not go in thinking, right, this is what I have to do. Because then if it doesn't work, what are you going to do? You've nothing to fall back on then. Like, I know he does a lot off his left leg. I know he likes to clinch. I know he comes forward. There's a lot of things I can do against that. As you know, I like to move. I like to pick my shots. So you could be walking into a lot of shots there.
In the cage as well. You've the ropes in the cage. We spoke about this the last time you were on as well. Is there a chance you're going to be strapping them type of clothes on again? And
I'd like to. I really would like to. It's complete madness in them. Like, every shot's a game changer. So yeah, I would. It's a lot more fun in them. It's a lot more risky in them as well. But yeah, I'd like to fight CMT again.
Is there a different? Again, like, is there a real different
vibe
and style? And
it seems like it.
You have your tactics have to be
different.
I presume,
yeah,
a lot different.
Even
like holding your guard
you can't block like that. You can't put your hands up in them gloves because shots sneak through. This is the one that I've been constantly thinking about, the Conor Mayweather one. If he had them gloves on, I think he'd knock Mayweather out. Because shots sneak through. Shots really do sneak through with them things.
I think he'd have a huge advantage. He's used to defend in them gloves.
In his bigger gloves. You know what I mean? And you can defend a lot more with bigger gloves. There's more padding, there's more room in them, you know, blocking your head.
Well, that's what Will Flurry, who fought on Cage Legacy, the first Cage Legacy, was due to have an MMA fight, but something happened where his opponent fell out and he fought David. And he was saying in it, I really thought I could sneak the punch in, but the glove was so fucking big, I couldn't get the shot through. Like, so that was an MMA fighter, you know, same perspective. It goes both ways in that sense, the tactic or the change up. So what I know you'd said to me when we were saying, oh, will you come on, have a chat and stuff? And you're like, yeah, let's have a catch up. You were telling me you might break something with us as well.
Yeah, I've fought in less than 4 weeks now. I'm fighting in Milan on a show called Wolf of the Ring against, you remember the Italian guy I fought?
Back
in October on Cyan Warriors. I think it's one of his teammates. I'm fighting on their show. So that's a nice little one for me before the Milady fight.
Going into enemy territory.
Yeah. It's always enemy territory to me.
And who'll go over with you there? With
Collie will be over there with me. Collie's my corner man. Collie's my bad man, obviously. Yeah.
So that's 4 weeks away. So that leaves. So let me do math.
I think
then.
It's 6 or 7 weeks. The Milady fight. So it'll be
Martin Horgan not wrapping it in bull wrap.
No. What's it like focusing on two?
You can't block one out. It's just fights, isn't it? Like, it's at the end of the day, you're just going into scrap. It's not like, oh, I have to think about this, I have to think about that. As I said, I don't make game plans on people. I go in to improve every day. I go in to fight, you know. I'm going to come try and take people's heads off.
It's crazy to think that the last show, episode 9, we were sitting here talking about your Cage Kings in Dublin, UK, and here we are now, two fights lined up.
Yeah.
So you're going international. And do you know much about the guy? Have you seen him?
No, I haven't seen anything, I don't think,
And he says it doesn't matter to you?
No.
They've seen you, the corner of obviously.
He's worked against me before, so let them think what they want. It's not going to be the same person. Like, against that Italian guy, he was a real defensive guy, so he couldn't land shots that I'd normally land on other fighters that would try and fight me.
If I remember right, you were frustrated because you were saying you weren't finishing your shots, you weren't extending and stuff.
Yeah, I was overthrown a little bit because he backed himself into the corner, basically, and anything I throw, he kind of just defend. So he'd done enough just to defend. And he didn't try and fight me. Then the last round, I kind of found my range a little bit better, and that's when I start landing big knees. Give him an eight count in the last 10 seconds of the fight or something like that. But I like fighters that come to fight me, you know what I mean? Which is what my lady will do.
Nice. I think it's mad. Two fights lined up ready to go. It's insane. Like, from
toy fighters that we
that's a regular.
Fight,
yeah,
very, very regularly, you know? Like, why not?
Yeah.
Why not keep yourself busy?
Who, in your opinion, outside of your weight class, let's put it that way, who do you think is the number one guy outside of your weight class?
That I like.
Here in Ireland.
You're
looking at Rasher, obviously defended his title there.
Ryan's a good one. I like Donkey as well. Donkey's been always kind of one that I've kind of looked up to. When I started, he's always been on shows. He's probably one of the most active fighters there is. And there's Arden, I love Arden as well.
Who? I don't know
here. Boom! There's a lot of fighters that are going. There's a lot of fighters I take a little bit of inspiration off, you know? Like, I'll never just.
I was leading into more of a coaching question as well, because I noticed when the Lionheart guys are fighting, you're there in prominence as well, cornering. And we touched on this, we spoke about it when Aaron was on last time as well, but just. Like, the team has grown now as well. You have guys like Aaron coming to the gym. You have Keith Levins coming to the gym.
We have Ryan Curtis as well. He's an MMA fighter that's coming to the gym to chime us. We've a lot coming into the gym now.
When you're cornering, your brother against, we spoke about it again just before we came on our Dano against Dan O'Toole. Oh, he wasn't at the show. I watched it, and oh my God, you're the passion in the corner again. Like, as in, it looks like, in a weird, really way, it looked like yous are out just, you know,
screaming,
having a laugh, and just, this is, you know, all the work is done. And it's something that I'll bring up a little bit when we have Aaron on as well, but because we're going to talk about the fight. But when Aaron fought and beat Martin Horgan down at Cork at Cage Kings, Collie walks into the cage and walks up to the camera and he says, "Everyone hates us, but we're number one."
Mm-hmm.
And is that summed up in a way the mentality of Lionheart? Is Lionheart against the rest?
Not necessarily. Look, like, me personally, I think we all should be trying to push each other. I think all Irish fighters should try and push each other, like, to try and fight outside Ireland and try and fight the best outside Ireland so that we can prove we're a great country, you know what I mean? But a lot of fighters kind of have that little bit of jealousy. If they see another fighter doing well, they're kind of like, "Oh, fuck him," you know what I mean?
Mm.
But yeah, you kind of get that little bit more now when there's a good few of the fighters doing well in our gym. So they're kind of like, well, fucking isolate them bitches, you know what I mean? We don't want them near us. But as Collie would say, we bark because we're animals, you know what I mean? But yeah.
It's always a pleasure to have you come in and chat with us here. I can't wait to watch it for you. I get this, it's a weird thing. I say it when I see a few lads fight, but I remember saying it to you, like, when I sit to watch you, I feel honoured to watch someone. It feels like I'm watching greatness. I'm looking at someone who sits in your gym, the work you do, you're sharpening your blade, and I'm getting you to see it slice the opponent, if you know what I mean. Mm. And it truly is, like, from number one, a fight fan, number two, the guy who announces you coming in, it's truly an honour to watch you fight. I look forward to every time. When I see your name on a card, I'm like, what promoter's that? I better be announcing this. It's an absolute honour, man. And, like, to think that when you fought in March, I thought, like, oh my God, what a guy. To where you are now. I was watching your fight in England off everyone's terrible fucking Facebook stream.
God, what did he...
did you hear the commentary in that?
Yeah.
That was some serious... You thought we were in Ireland there. Fucking ole ole and cow chants. That was madness, but yeah.
But it wouldn't be any other way with fucking Lionheart. Yeah. The whole of Milan will be going around wearing a fucking Lionheart t-shirts out next month. Watch, you'll fucking
we'll
watch.
Change them.
You'll be watching the Inter Milan, AC Milan derby, and you'll be all sitting there.
Yellow
tops. But like I said, it is truly an honour to call your fights. Every time I do, I end up saying, and your winner is followed by your name. And I look forward,
TKO or KO.
Yeah, 9 times out of 10 it is that. And I look forward to, no disrespect to Stephen, I wish you the best of luck getting in there, but hopefully I'm calling your name. A little bit of biasy there at the end, but no, I do. I hopefully call your name. And it, like I said, it's an absolute pleasure to watch your fight.
Thanks.
And thanks for coming in and taking the time and chatting with us.
Thanks very much, boys. Thanks for having me. Oh, I just want to give a shout out. Oh, yes.
Give your shouts.
Before we forget. Local Meal Delivery is they sort me field out. I'd like to give a shout out to Crane Mooney and Local Meal Delivery.
What's the story with that? Is he ordering
I'll
you get
take
like. Yeah.
Give me that shit.
Yeah. What they do they send me. You out to grub?
They feed me every week, so they'll send me out like package with like me breakfast, lunch and dinner, you know what I mean? So 3 meals a day, but obviously you'd probably have your protein bar, your protein shake in between, or so it's 6 days a week, so you have the one day where you probably have a little Bernando or something.
What's it called? Caramel fudge cream cake?
Gooey caramel cheese. Chop Shop Fizz Bread, that was my hair's bad at the minute, so
bad advertisement for them.
You're on that
shit now, but they're deadly.
Who else? At 5 Star Media, who sorted me out, were on me gear and stuff. Jason Kane.
Sorted me out with gear as well.
my drugs. Jason Kane does me strength and conditioning, and Darden O'Rourke, who does me physio. I'd be lost without that, boys.
So there you are, that's Craig Coakley. If you want to know more about him, check out that YouTube documentary as well.
Yeah,
the Craig Coakley documentary.
The tickets are available now, aren't they? No, not yet.
Get on them. Like we said, potentially it could be the last time you'll see him fight in Dublin for a while. So while he's on your doorstep, go and see a world class fighter. No excuses. So again, Craig, appreciate your time. Cheers, man.
Peace.
Welcome back to Obviously Fight Talk, and if you're watching, you can see we are joined by Aaron Boom Boom Brown.
That's
if you're
Aaron.
Listening, you now know we're joined by Aaron Boone Brown. Aaron, welcome back.
How are you all getting on, lads? Good.
And come here. You win an award for being the first returning guest in this studio.
Yeah. Probably the quickest turnaround
as well. Boys, I just couldn't wait to get back into this. That's all.
He's been outside the fucking door waving at us. Can I come back on, lads?
Please, lads. That's him, will it?
Now, well, look, how this came around was in a funny way, because Coakley couldn't find his way here. So
I was doing the chauffeur and then today.
You were chauffeur, so we thought when opportunity presents itself. So, two things we want to talk about. You just beat the godfather of Muay Thai in Ireland, of Martin Horgan.
Concrete Horgan, huh? Yeah. A lot of respect to Martin, man. Fair balls to him. But
tough fight.
It was a good fight. I enjoyed it. And so did he. Like, so it was good, man. You know, went in there and done exactly what I said I was going to do, starting off, and it worked out. And
how did you find the fight? Because at one stage, it looked like, when it was in striking range, for a moment it looked like Martin was getting better at exchange, and he rocked you up against the cage.
At one stage, I put my hands up in the air and I say, yeah, Martin did. And them small gloves, lads, as we were saying, are a completely different ball game. And I think my legs now went to jelly down at one stage. But and then back up. But it was good and fair. I have to give it to Martin. He gave as good as what he got, and he was good, man, you know. And he rocked me then, and then it was just the slap or two on the side of the head. Come on, Ar, it's time to come back. Words of encouragement, and we went back out then.
And you won back your title, the Cage Kings title.
Yeah, that's good. It's good, man. Back on the Cage Kings scene now all over again. So good.
But as well, double news, you're confirmed for being on Capital One as well. This card, as we said.
Martin Horgan, you know that we love you, pal. You know it.
We weren't lying when we said this is stacked.
Yeah.
You're fighting Scotty John.
Scotty John now is the next fight, yeah. Looking forward to it now, Capital One. Some great names on it. Some serious names on it. So I'm really, really looking forward to it.
And again, staying active, as we talked with Craig, did you have two or three fights lined up?
No, I haven't got two or three fights lined up.
You've only won, you lazy man.
No, man, what can you do? That's what it is. But so far so good, man. I'm looking forward to this next one and really just motoring now and getting it all together, and just can't wait.
Something with changing camp as well. We didn't really speak about it that much because the change wasn't that long, even though we're only a couple of weeks down the line. But how do you find, and Craig out of earshot here as well, will have to comment as well, but how do you find your style? Because a lot of people know you. I always make a terrible reference about what you do with your poor girlfriend. I won't deal with this time.
Thank God it's not going to happen. I'll have to hear that again. I think she'd cry.
But said that about six times.
What do you do? We just do get an earful when I get back.
He has a soundbite at home every time he walks into the room. But how is your... have you noticed your tactics, your style of fighting has changed?
The whole even outlook on the fight since I've joined the boys is completely different. Like as we said the last time I think I was here, I was saying that my style was just march down, go forward. But it often let me open and it let me walk on to big shots, man, the whole time. And you'd be just more or less sucking diesel, man, when you're hit with them shots. But now looking at it, and what is how I look is more or less true. The boys, what the boys have actually got me to see, man, and they're, no, hold on, wait, you're not doing this right, or hold on, why would you do this? Because it doesn't make any sense to throw that here. And it's only with them and more or less getting fucking thumped around and learning your mistakes that way. But then you have the best in the country here beside me, so it doesn't help them when you're making mistakes then as well, you know. But it's good, man. The whole lot of it, man, has been great. It's been a serious learning curve, man. I've came on leaps and bounds since the last fight. I thought really showed, well, the second round showed, the first round was a little bit, took me out.
Well, though, when the first round started well, you just got caught, you got killed.
And that's literally what happened, but it was good. Like, you can see, or you can feel myself coming on leaps and bounds, man. I think it's just going to get better and better and better from here on out.
And is that something that, in a way, made the change, is that you wanted to involve your game? Because you got into it, we spoke about this, you got into it, like, you exploded onto the scene here in Ireland. Like, the first time I actually announced you, I think, was the China show. I think that was the first time I announced you.
I
remember saying to Craig the last time, the first time I announced you was on, and he went, no, you announced me on such a show. I was like, oh, fuck.
I think you're right, the first Chinese show, yeah.
And, like, because I remember, in a way, when I was looking at the card, I was going, I don't know anything about it. And I was like, who's this? I don't know this guy. And then you came on and you were in, like, the fucking fight of the fucking decade. And then you just exploded, and you put, you know, that style, the constant, we'll keep it clean, the constant Duracell bunny staying on top of you, working, working, working. I'm sure, like, at Lionheart, they don't want to lose that completely, but they want to mix smooth striking in as well.
It's
rangy striking.
Yeah, with like, I understand there what you're talking about, but even with that, it's a much smarter way of fighting. Like, yeah, everything to it is much more... You look and you analyse what's about to happen and whereabouts are going. I'm not as rushy anymore. I'm not as jittery anymore to get going. And it, like, literally, it's just looking at the other greatness, man, of everybody else around you. You just pick up little things here or there, or somebody coaching you. Even the pad work, man. Oh my God, man. It's been amazing to see. I don't know what I was doing beforehand. This is actually the God honest truth. Since I've came down here, it's like, oh my God, it's like going to college for toy boxing, and yeah, that's really the God honest truth, lads. It's great.
Do you wish you made the move earlier, or do you think kind of having that previous kind of learning and then putting that on top of it made you even a better fighter?
I think it obviously was the skill, like learning, like I done my best with, but yeah, to be honest, I wish I would have started there. And I think if I would have started there I would have been even better than what I am now. I feel as if I'm playing catch up a little bit sometimes, but at the same time I'm still number one at what I do here now
playing
at the country
up,
at the minute.
Belts wrapped around,
yeah,
your
so
waist, yeah.
So it's good, like, you know, yeah. So that's it, really.
So
what
let's talk about Scotty John and fighting again.
Yeah.
And, what do you, again, in a way, I know you're not going to tell us weaknesses and things, but what's the game plan going in there? Craig spoke about he's more focused on what he does. Is that the same with you? Yeah. Or do you like looking at, because let's be honest, Scotty John is a high level fighter.
Tough
he's,
dude, yeah.
He's a
he
block
is.
Of a man as well. He's a big unit, yeah, as well. And is that come into it? Is it something that you want to try, like with your style, is drag him in, make them muscles need blood and oxygen? Or what is the game plan coming into?
No, we don't usually like sit down and set to it. Like, we might have a couple of things that we might end up working off or whatever, like, but no, it's not really, because like Craig was saying earlier, if you do end up getting rocked or something bad happens that doesn't go with the game plan, what do you do then? Yeah. Do you panic? No, you don't. You just improvise and get over that hurdle and see, catch your breath then again and then get going then again. And no, it's not. It's Scotty as well. Like, I'm looking forward to the fight. I say it's going to be a great fight as well. Like, no doubt upon him. He's going to be good. But I know for a fact he's going to have to kill me, man, to take this belt off me. And that is not going to happen this time around. Definitely not.
That's something as well. In a way, we're echoing the interview, but the questions are still relevant. You, like I said, first time I announced you, I didn't know who you were in that way. Now, again, you are. People are seeing you. So does that bring that added pressure that your opponent knows? Like, most people... Like, Martin Hogan knew when he was fighting you in cages what was going to happen, how the fight was going to take place, what the high pace that you bring to each fight. So in a way, does that make it harder that you're not a surprise, if you like, to your opponent?
Yeah, but that's, yeah, it is, it's good, and it's handy to have, like, little bits that you can fall back on, like clinching ways, like that type of style. Yeah, you can go and do that, but I want to... Like, when you're going in there, you want to show something classy every single time you're going in. You don't want to be the same fighter, which I was for so long as well. Like, now I want to keep improve on every little element, man. You're working all sorts of stuff, even the stuff that you thought that you'd never be good at. Now we're starting to work on how to move your head, all loads of stuff, man. Honestly, it is just college for toy boxing. It is brilliant. Yeah, there we go, Craig. Oh, thank God somebody said it. Look, so this is what I mean, lads. It's just literally for it to work, man. It's the boys inside the gym, the people who I'm working with, man. It's seeing them work every day, and they spur you on. Like the likes of Craig, man, I don't think I've ever seen him take a day off, and that is the God honest truth. Like, we never come on in and there's nobody there. There's always somebody there who's working. Because if he's not working, if you're not working, there's somebody there who's always working harder than you. And that's exactly what happens then, lads, you know.
What's the plan? I know, like, you had big opportunities as well, where you went and you fought in Asia and stuff like that again. Them opportunities will obviously come around again. Craig saying he's fighting in Milan soon. Is that the idea as well? Like, as much as we were saying, you know, like, who's next? If everything goes right for you against Scotty John, realistically, who's next in your weight class? Who's somebody that, in a way, you want to fight or you want to test yourself against?
I'm gonna end up going down. I think I said this the last time we were on this. Yeah. Now, this time again, it went for the 70 kilos. And then, obviously, then the Cage Kings then was 70 kilos as well. But as in, at 70 kilos, like, I'm number one, here we are, for the last 2 years at 70 kilos. And the real God on the truth is, lads, I need to start going down. Like, I need to go down on the weight. Like, this is what I want to do now. Yeah. Like, and I don't want to be a 70 kilo for much longer. Like, I don't, that's, you know, it's not a fucking walk around.
You realise that it's just a little fight.
Yeah, and that's literally what it was, lads. You could see,
he actually never cut weight.
Never done it properly, like, you know. But yeah,
cutting weight. I'm gonna have a Snickers today.
Yeah, looking forward to the bats and the sweatsuits and all that.
I've done things like this beforehand, man. Not properly, but seeing how the lads do it, man, and how they actually look after themselves afterwards, like the aftercare, like of how to more or less refuel your body and how the nutrition side of it, man. Where this is stuff that I was lacking in, that I didn't have any education in, that was just more or less just going by feel. Like, it's not, man. Half the time you'd be hopping inside the ring, I'd be wrecked only getting inside the ring, wrecked before I'd hop up. And now, looking at how they do it and how the weight cut has been for us the last couple of times, when I say weight cut, just more or less sweating it out, man. That's it. Like, but yeah, man, it's been brilliant. Like, it's been great.
Again, like, dropping the weight. This is obviously a huge hot topic as well in MMA at the minute as well. They're talking about the weight cutting stuff. It is a science.
Yeah, 100%, lads.
And essentially what you were saying is you used to go buy the homemade pack, science pack, you buy a little toy set, but now you have, you're working with Einstein, you know, he's telling you how to do it and break your body down correctly.
Oh, that's it really, man. But it's not, it's other people as well, like, you know what I mean? Like, people would say to you, like Craig, for example, like if you're hopping inside, or maybe Collie or something, to be like, no, look, you have to go and do it this way. Like, this is the right way to do it. There's no point in you doing it this way, because you're only just going to fuck up more or less in the long run. This is the way it has to be done. And when it's done right, boys, it's so much fucking easier.
Yeah,
so much easier. You're not killing yourself to try and get down to it. You're not killing yourself to try and get the food back on, and then you're bloated as fuck then trying to hop back into the ring then, well, the next day. You know what I mean? It's just not good.
If you were a tired man and the energy you output in your fights, I can only imagine when you're cutting, you're doing it correctly.
When you're cutting, man,
you're like watching you in fast forward or something. You'd be like,
what's happening?
Jesus, I wonder what analogy I'll use then.
You're selling cocaine.
Listen, Aaron, this was a quick, inspired one with you dropping in. It's always a pleasure chatting to you. Wish you as well the best of luck as well.
Thanks
coming up.
Yeah.
And again, you're one of my favourites to introduce, and that is highlighted by my profile picture on Facebook.
Oh, hey, wait to see you now the next day, baby. You know it. You know it.
Quality stuff. Pleasure, me man.
Lads, thank you. Pleasure.
Do you want to shout out to any sponsors and
everyone? They're the same ones then as what Craig was saying earlier as well. Darren and Jay for the strength and impact. Sorry, from Black. Strength and conditioning there, and over in Black Rock, and then Darden then as well as the physio, and Molly's Bar are all be sponsored because you know that you love me, baby.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Aaron Boomer Brown.
Thanks
Aaron
very much, lads.
Craig Copley. So
Craig, get your head in there.
Check out Capital One, July 8th. This is a killer of a card. Sin City West. Two lads are fighting, but the card is stacked as well. Mark Cassidy's fighting. Topic is fighting. Douglas, this is
donkey.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah, he's aren't going to be here for it. So, if you can, quick minute, we let him wait. We'll jump. This is your quick four news, and we'll
just do the one. Just do the one.
Yeah. So we're just going to say that where are we? Martin Horgan broke more news in a potential matchup for the Capital One card in Dublin's City West. One of the most known and loved Thai fighters in Ireland, the Joker James Donkey O'Connell, will be matched on the card. But also, this will be his retirement and final walk to the ring with gloves tied on. If you've ever seen Donkey fight, you've seen a great fight. What do you think about Donkey hanging the gloves up at the age of 30, lads? We'll give the two.
Do you want to go there first?
He's had a great career. Like, let's face it, he's had an absolutely amazing career. He's WBC champion, he's European champion, he's Irish champion. So we do wish him all the best. It will be sad to see him go away.
Are you surprised?
Yeah, very. I am, yeah. It will be very sad to see him go away, but I just wish him the best.
I just think it's sad. I don't think I've ever actually ever been to a fight where Donkey hasn't been fighting on the same card. Yeah. I didn't say that, little Donkey. But honestly, I take it seriously. It did seriously surprise me. I did not expect him to see him to be hanging up the gloves and all. Like, even as soon as I heard it, I think the first thing I did was text him. This couldn't be true.
I think he'll still have big thing to deal with toy boxing. Yeah. Like, it'll always be around there, you know what I mean?
So, Well, that's why I edited it by saying his final walk with gloves tied on. To me, it's an absolute shock. I was really surprised. Like, Docky is only 30. It's his 40th fight, though.
I think he's seen
the numbers and he's adding them up. Maybe that's the way he feels. You never know. Maybe he might take a break in a year away. But like,
see, it's a hard game. There's not a lot of money in Thai boxing, you know. So it is a hard game. So
especially for the effort that you're showing in every time.
And like, you look at the wars Donkey has been, like, them cage games bouts, holy lambert, Jesus. But
Donkey's definitely been in a few wars, alright, definitely.
I always said he's bleeding as he's walking to the cage.
just coming from fighters, like, a lot of people say if a fighter says they want to retire, that's kind of, you should probably retire at that point. Do you kind of agree with that? Like, once that gets into your mind,
if you think you should hang up the gloves, hang up the gloves, because you're not going to be 100% in the game. And you can't come in 50% or 40%. You have to be either 100% in or 100% out. That's my opinion on it.
Then once the fire is not in the heart, really, like, and that's it. Like, if it's not there, it's not there. There's no point in doing it anymore, I think.
I said it to Donkey. I messaged him like you as soon as I seen him. I was like, what the fuck? And I got on, what, you kept this quiet, you cunt. And he's like, oh, no, it's just chatting away. And I said, man, I'm like, don't get me wrong, like, I'm only, you know, that part, like, the show is like that size, I'm that part of the show, but like, I love introducing you guys, like, it's truly an honour when I do it. And like, I always love introducing Donkey. Like I said, I was messing before we came online. He's got the longest nickname. He used to be just James O'Connell. Then it was James Donkey O'Connell. Then it was the Joker James Donkey O'Connell. And I'm like, fuck, what am I going to have to call him now in July? This is going to be the fucking longest. The myth, the legend, the man. You know what I mean? But like, I was thrilled. And like, for me, in a soppy, sad way, it's going to be hard announcing over the last time.
Of course, definitely.
And I think the whole... I think it's just a great ploy, but Donkey's not retiring at all. He just wants the whole venue. That's all it is.
He's coming to talk.
Whoever he's fighting, it's Conor. I'll be going, now fucking take it easy. Let him fucking knock you out, will you? But I was shocked by it. And it is. I'd say it's going to be. I wonder where he's going to be put on the card. As you were saying earlier, when you hear Donkey, you know you're either up now or before or whatever.
Oh, he's put up by where Donkey's fighting on the card. Honestly, I swear to God, usually as soon as you see Donkey, I'm right, I'm five fights away from here now.
It is good to see though a chap saying, I'm having one more fight, I'm done, and on my own terms and going out. That's good to see. I'm not getting knocked down.
But I can see it now. We've done the mix of the. It was the Suicide Squad. You know when Donkey, when I call his name, then he comes off and the whole the Suicide Squad. I'm just gonna hurt you really, really badly. Everybody, the place would be in tears. Do you know what I mean? And then the music kicks in and out comes Donkey. But an absolute honor to call his name. Fuck me, what fights he's been in. Who's he fighting now? Who do we reckon?
Oh, I don't know.
I shouted Carl Hodges earlier. Rematch. I shouted that. So I'm putting the hand out there as the shout. Because the Cage Kings fight, Donkey got hurt. But that was going to get stopped with the cut in between rounds. Bad Donkey wants that back. He wants that defeat back. So it'd be a fucking great fight too.
That would be a cracker.
They were due to fight at the last Super Show as well, right? That was the last Cage Kings they were due to fight.
And Hodges
pulled out injured, I think, or something, didn't he? So that's the fight that we want. Or the fight, you know, I think it's a good fight.
It's a good fight.
I honestly think Donkey will fight somebody high level anyway, so no matter
who he has to.
Yeah, class. And
he just throws down the donka donk, doesn't he?
Well, come here, can you imagine us saying, imagine poor Wally.
Yeah.
Wally's going to be in a hoop.
Wally in a bundle now, outside.
Oh, man, I tell you, it's going to be weird when it's, you know, when it's all said and done and you announce the winner. And he's getting out of the ring. That's going to be
emotional. Yeah, a bit emotional, all right. Boy, stop all that before you get a couple of points.
You'll be coming out of the
office. I am. Why did he retire?
You go out.
Just get in there.
But Donkey, as you can hear by the lads, you're loved by this community. And it's only four of us here echoing it. But on the night, even though you're a bogger fighting in Dublin, there will be serious love in the room for you. So congratulations on a super career. And best of luck, me man. Welcome back to Obviously Fight Talk. A little running order, a little different this week, but let's roll with it. Go with the flow. So this is your quick fire news. So Rob, get your 2 minutes on your clock. And this is brought to you by Fight Star Ireland, the fighter's choice. Anderson Silva's name is all over the headlines today following his appearance on the MMA Hour on Monday, where he vowed to retire from MMA if the UFC don't book him versus Yoel Romero for the interim middleweight title. The former champ was supposed to fight Kelvin Gastelum at UFC 212 on June the 3rd in Brazil, but Gastelum failed a drug test for marijuana and was pulled from the bout last month. Silva acknowledged he has been given options, but none of them make sense to him. What do we think of Silva's comments?
It's a weird one because we don't know who he was given. We don't know who he was, who they want to book him with. But I do understand where he's coming from. Like, if nobody interests him, there's no point in him fighting because he's an absolute legend of the sport at this point. He doesn't have to fight. He's probably rich as fuck, I'm guessing. So if none of them fights interest him, and they don't put him in the position that he wants to be in at this stage of his career, then I don't see the reason why he should just take any fight. I don't really like when the UFC match up legends like Anderson Silva against a kind of no-name. In certain situations it works because you're building another star. But in other situations when you can make a huge fight, make the huge fight, you know? Not that I really want to see Anderson versus Yoel, because I think that's a really bad matchup for Anderson. Mm. But I do understand where he's coming from as a fighter. If the fight doesn't interest you, don't take it. You know, he has plenty of money to retire, I'm sure.
I think he was saying something about, you know, he had a big fight lined up and then the return of GSP came about. So yeah. I'd imagine potentially Bisping might have been the offer. He went on a rant about fuck Dana White and shit like that. Like, he kept apologising. I said, yeah, I say fuck. But
if Dana give me a title shot.
Yeah, but he's... Look, he was a legend. But should you get high profile fights off
tenure?
No. Yes. Considering the losses he's had.
Yeah, I think so. I think the career that Anderson Silva has.
Title shot?
I don't think a title shot, but you know, I do think interest in fights. I'm not sure if he only wants a title shot. He said Yoel Romero, maybe that's the one that he does want.
He wants an interim. In fairness, interim's a great show because the UFC and them.
Yeah, I don't agree with the interim title because Michael Bisping just won it. Like, it's silly. But I do understand where he's coming from in terms of if it doesn't interest me as a fighter, I don't have to fight, so don't take the fight. So I do get him from there. I completely get that.
It's weird. Like, Yoel Romero's a bad fight for him too.
Very
like,
bad.
Holy Jesus. Anderson Silva, cursing on the MMA Hour. And Chael Sonnen was right.
Yeah.
He speaks good English.
He does.
You're up.
I'm up. Up next, speaking of UFC 212, it was announced on Monday that a middleweight bout between the phenom Vitor Belfort and Nate the Great Marquardt has been added to the card. What do we think of this matchup?
The UFC obviously listened to Fight Talk, Ireland's number one
podcast.
Yeah,
Ireland's just number one.
Probably doesn't have a patch on us. But this is a legends fight in a way. Yeah. Yes, you could argue Vitor is a bigger legend than Nate the Great. But this is two guys who are similar age, both a little chinny. So. This would be an interesting fight.
It isn't saying because like they're both chinny and they're both big punchers, so yeah, it's going to be a crazy fight.
Yeah, so that's like I'd be tipping my hat towards Vitor.
Me
in
too.
This.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a good fight. It's a fight that makes sense with guys at their age, with their like. You don't want to see Vitor. You just said it with Anderson. You don't want to see him there to raise. You don't want to see Vitor get in there and get ragged on.
Yeah,
there's
certain guys that you don't want to see it with. I didn't want to see it with BJ Penn. Like, I don't really want to see it with anybody. But I know that's what the fight game is. Yeah. You know, the older fighter will go in there and they'll give their name to the younger fighter. The younger fighter will build their name off them. But there's certain guys, legends like BJ Penn, I didn't want to see that. Guys like Vitor, you know, bit of a checkered past, I think you can say, a bit of a controversial figure, but I don't want to see
him.
You must
point out that is Vitor juiced to the gills.
100% with the dodgy haircut. But I don't want to see him going in there getting knocked out by younger guys. I don't want to see Nate Marquardt going in there getting knocked out by younger guys. So I think this is a perfect matchup. If these two guys want to continue to fight, that this is a perfect matchup because they're both similar stages of their career. It's just unfortunate that probably somebody's getting knocked out for their brains, obviously. But it's going to be very exciting, I think. I think it's going to be a very, very exciting matchup.
I agree. And I think it makes sense. It's like
I think Aaron spoke about
a lot of people. It just makes sense.
That's the thing to say about it. It makes sense.
It makes sense.
I don't make dollars.
As Dan Mulvihead would say, I'm not in there. I didn't see his eyes.
See his eyes.
But it makes sense. The UFC newly created women's featherweight division has got off. That hasn't got off to the best of starts. Your champion,
Jermaine de Randamie.
Beautiful. Won the title in controversial circumstances versus Holly Holm and has been awfully quiet since. However, the two other top fighters in the division, although one isn't signed with the UFC yet, has been less quiet. During an appearance on the MMA Hour, our sister podcast, Australian Invicta 145-pound champion Megan Anderson was talking about the potential fight with Cyborg Justino when Cyborg called in. She called in. I love that about the MMA Hour. Cyborg said she wanted a fight between the two, and if it would be a good fight for the real UFC title. Anderson quickly responded, accepting Cyborg's challenge. It is for the real title, isn't it?
Yeah. There's a weird thing going on with Jermaine de Randamie now. There's rumors that she's going to retire, that she's injured, and there's rumors that she's not going
to retire. If I had to fight Cyborg,
yeah, there's rumors that she's not going to fight for a long time. None of them are verified as far as I know, so we're just going to take as if she's a champion. But that division has got off to a terrible start.
Shocking.
Not because it was a bad fight, but because there is two 145-pound challengers, two 145-pound fighters, three including Cyborg.
Yeah.
One, Holly Holm, is going back down a division to 135. Jermaine de Randamie doesn't have an opponent to fight. We don't know when she's going to fight. And then you have Megan Anderson, who a lot of people would say is the, you know, the legit 145-pound champion, not the UFC champion, but, you know, the world champion, because she's beat the girls really that's been at that division that's been best. And then you have Cyborg, who, you know, vacated that title. So I think it's the most logical fight to make. I'm not sure how well Anderson would fare against Cyborg. I'm not sure how well anyone would fare against Cyborg in that division, but I think it is the most logical fight to make for an interim title. Again, it's, I don't think
so. Gotta love an interim title.
Yeah, just give them to everybody. But it wouldn't surprise me if you made it for an interim title, but I don't agree with it, even though I do think that that's probably
the best fight in the division. Can't compete.
But that's all unverified. If she says, I can't compete for a year, fair enough. That's a perfect time to make an interim title fight.
That's how I believe what they're designed.
Yeah, that's the whole point of them, yeah.
That's like Ron Seal. That's what an interim title
is meant
to do. Megan Anderson, there's a lot of talk and a lot of hype coming from obviously her camp, what she's doing in Invicta as well. And Cyborg, let's be honest, Cyborg needs somebody that can compete with her, because normally when you look at like a Cyborg fight, it's like a bull versus a fucking dog. Mm. Do you know what I mean? She just overruns her opponents and absolutely destroys them. Is Megan Anderson the one to change that? She's got the skills. She's a big girl as well. Like she's a good size.
But I don't think her striking fares well against Cyborg. If you watch her last fight, I'm not sure.
But hey, it's MMA and anything can happen. But it's Cyborg needs somebody though. That's the thing. And fair play to her. She's saying, yeah, I'll fight. It's not like Randamie and turned around straight away and went, let's do a rematch.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't want to fight Cyborg. Let's do a rematch, me and Holly Holm. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, come on. Fight Cyborg.
I thought we deleted this picture, but we spoke about this previously. If it's Donkey's last fight coming up. We spoke about it with the lads before, so excellent career. But moving on. Anthony Joshua versus Vladimir Klitschko went down on Saturday, and the big winner was boxing. Well done.
Beautiful.
that's almost as bad as we are the fans that are winners.
No, the big winner was boxing.
It was.
Continue.
I completely agree. In what was a stunning heavyweight fight, the Englishman got the TKO in the 11th round and potentially set up an all-British affair with Tyson Fury.
Great fight. I watched it on my phone.
The perfect place to watch it.
I was all set to sit and watch at home, and we had to go down to the mother-in-law's, so the phone became the device. Holy llama, Jesus, uppercut. Yeah. But an amazing fight. Was it Ariel Helwani who was talking about saying they're saying boxing's dead? Boxing's not dead.
No,
boxing
he said it's not dead.
But it just needed a bit, like, how you judge things is social media, in a way.
Yeah.
And if you look at Saturday night, the social media rise of all week building up to the fight was huge.
Yeah.
Everybody was posting links. You scroll down your Facebook page, you were in everyone's living room.
Yeah.
Because everyone was live feeding it. Mad robbers bastards. Were loving it.
Yeah, mad
robbers bastards. Were going, there's a nice telly around there and such gaffs. Nice.
Yeah.
But it was a huge spectacle. It was a huge... And something that sometimes doesn't happen in boxing, when there is a big hype to a big fight, sometimes it falls flat and it doesn't deliver. That wasn't the case on Saturday night. This was, we were looking to have Liam on the show from Fightstar.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Liam's in the process of moving to the UK. So he wasn't available today to have a chat with him. But it was an unbelievable fight. And like Klitschko hurt Joshua. Had everything. That's what it had about it.
It was such a good fight. That Liam is moving to the UK.
Yeah, that's how good it was. I'm going to the UK.
It was too good. But I do agree. I completely agree with your point of a lot of the time in boxing, and it happens in MMA too, to be fair.
Yeah, of course.
But it just kind of stands out more in boxing because there's not as many big fights at the moment.
On the undercard as well. Yeah, exactly. The undercard
so you don't really see it. This one was. Katie Taylor got a big win as well. We have to mention that. But I do agree with that. It was a fight that had a lot of hype. And it lived up to the hype. And I have to say, I was very impressed with Anthony Joshua, especially after that magic fourth round where everyone was like, he has four rounds in him if he doesn't, and then he gets dropped in the sixth and then comes back. Yeah.
It was a great fight. The finish was fantastic. Klitschko looked like when he hurt Joshua, he tired. He looked like he put a lot into that. But Joshua got back up off the ground, and it was a great fight. If you haven't watched it, it'll be everywhere now.
Yeah, that's the type of fight that turns people into boxing fans.
Exactly, and that's why I was saying the big winner was boxing. It needed a right. The only letdown with this fight is that Klitschko's 41.
Yeah.
And that there can't be...
Well, there can be...
No, but you know what I mean? As in, he looked in... Jesus Christ, he looked in some shape.
If they could have...
If they could have a trilogy,
yeah, which it probably won't happen. Might rematch, maybe. But
Tyson Fury has been back and forth. It sort of looks like he's talking a lot of game.
Yeah,
that'd be in a big British standoff. That'd be huge again, and be another Wembley show. We have gone well over the 2 minutes, but yeah, it was a fantastic fight. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and like I said, I really thought that boxing was the winner. Chuck Liddell is rumoured to be making a return to the cage. If the opponent is right, the Iceman could be willing to return to action. This all started with an Instagram post of Chuck looking shredded and a video with Joe Glazer hitting pads with elbows. John Hackman has said while nothing is offered, if Liddell approached him and about returning, he would consider training the Iceman for another bout so long as it was the right opponent. What do we think of the potential return of the Iceman?
First things first, you said Joe Glazer, which is amazing. I think you were thinking of
Jay Glazer.
I think you were thinking of Joe Frazier when you're talking about all
Joe Glazer.
Jay
Glazer. Jay.
I don't like it. I'm not even sure if we were speaking on camera or on the show.
We were off.
But of course that everybody's gonna watch it because it's Chuck Liddell. But I don't like it. I think Chuck was one of the guys who went out late. You know, he didn't go out just on time.
He lost four of his last six by knockout.
Yeah, exactly. And those knockouts aren't knockouts that Chuck Liddell, or aren't shots that Chuck Liddell would have went out with.
Well, Chuck Liddell was known for having a granite chin. He took a shot to land the shot.
And that's probably what caused him to kind of go out the way he did, because he took a shot to land the shot. And that just takes a toll. I don't like it because I'm sure he has the money to stay retired. I don't think he's struggling for cash. And I also, he's just that legend of sport. You don't want to see him come back. He already put a little bit of, he already tarnished his career just ever so slightly coming to the end.
Franklin knocked him.
With a broken arm. So I don't want to see it. Chuck Liddell's an absolute legend. He doesn't need to come back for sporting reasons. He doesn't need to prove anything.
No. 47 years ago.
47 years ago. I don't want to see it. He's in shape though.
I am... Like Chuck Liddell, like I got into UFC in and around like the 96 era.
I hate when people say that I got into UFC. I know what you mean. UFC.
That was the first MMA show I seen was the UFC.
It's funny.
I said that. I wasn't being a casual there.
I know. I just think it's funny
fucking
when you
hell,
say
Rob,
it.
Get on me back. UFC. The Ultimate Fighter Championship.
The Ultimate Defining Championship.
When Chuck, him and Ortiz were the guys. Sort of in the later stage, they were always dodging one. And I got into Chuck, and I love Chuck Liddell. Like, I'm looking into his dreamy eyes right now as I'm looking at this, and I love Liddell. He looks
dreamy. That's the first time I've heard someone say Chuck Liddell has dreamy eyes.
He looks in impeccable shape.
Yeah.
In the the post he put up. It wouldn't surprise me if he's in training for a movie role.
Yeah, that'd
something
be great.
Along that line.
And one thing I will say is, remember when he came to the end of his career and he was slurring and he was the way he was speaking. And if you listen to him now,
he sounds a lot clearer.
He sounds a lot clearer. Imagine if he went back in there, got knocked out, and it just
the two lads earlier on, as I was showing them how fit looking he was and showing them his elbows, they weren't impressed by his performance with the elbows.
No, they weren't.
They GSP'd it. But okay, I don't want to see it. I don't. I want to remember Chuck Liddell like doing the Chuck Liddell, you know. Unfortunately, that was tarnished, as you said. Like, I literally, when Rashad Evans knocked him out, I thought that was it.
Yeah,
I really did. I broke my heart.
He fought for a long time. So many fights, so many wars. Just doesn't need to come back. And we've gone over time.
Gone over time again.
But for Chuck,
we
will do it.
I'll go over time for Chuck. So as we're talking about Chuck Liddell, let's get a man on who did retire.
Yes,
came out of retirement. Has fought on the big shows. We'll be fighting soon on the big shows, I'll imagine. So this is this week's Just Getting On with Johnny Jitsu. And it's where we put a question to Johnny. We say, Johnny, with Chuck coming back, with GSP coming back, with BJ Penn coming back, how do you feel about retiring fighters coming back, considering you were once a retired fighter who came back? So this is Johnny doing what Johnny does, Just Getting On. Just Getting On with Johnny Jitsu. Who's the fuck?
Johnny Jitsu here, just getting on for obviously Fight Talk. Sorry I can't be in the studio this week, guys. Just busy, had to go off training now, unfortunately. As you can see, I'm clean shaven, back to the youth. Decided to get rid of the beard because it was doing me fucking head in. I'm too bleeding warm out for it. The guys, obviously, Fight Talk asked me to elaborate on a question today. The possibility of Chuck Liddell returning to MMA. And what's my take on it? Well, basically, I think as a fan, I'd love to see Chuck Liddell come back and have a rock off someone like the likes of a Shogun Hua or someone of that caliber. I think it's basically down to a fighter's choice, you know. When you're a fighter, you're a fighter. It's in your soul and it's in your heart. And when you still want to keep fighting, it's hard to switch that off. I know I had a brief retirement once, going back a few years ago. It was, my retirement was more down to just being pissed off with the game and cutting too much weight and just getting fed up with the whole thing. But, you know, every fighter's reasons are different for wanting to hang up the gloves. But obviously, if there's talk of Chuck wanting to come back, it's still in his soul to fight. He, you know, you just can't switch that off. And I know I'd definitely love to see him coming back. I know fighters like BJ Penn and GSP have come back recently as well. And I just think it's basically down to the fighters themselves. It's a choice, you know. It's not something you can switch on or off. And, you know, I think you should go as long as your mind and your body want you to go. I think you shouldn't end it with any regrets and any shoulda, coulda, wouldas, you know. Go the whole hog. Sometimes the results mightn't have gone your way, but you knew you gave it everything in your heart and soul. And that's my view on the whole thing. I definitely love to see Chuck Liddell coming back anyway, man. I mean, one of the pioneers of the game here. And definitely, yeah. Who's the fuck?
So welcome back to, obviously, Fight Talk. And we are now joined by one of the hottest prospects in MMA in Bellator.
Yeah, absolutely.
AJ McKee Jr. joins us. AJ, thanks for taking the time to come on to, obviously, Fight Talk.
Thanks for having me.
AJ, you're coming off a highlight reel knockout at the last Bellator show. Everywhere you look now, all last week, everywhere I seem to look was the highlight from Bellator 178. Have you found you're getting a lot more attention since that knockout?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, it kind of just went viral. It was on ESPN, WorldStar, and SportsCenter top 10. So it's just kind of getting around, which is kind of good for me.
We'd be familiar, as you were over here with Anthony Taylor as well when you were cornering Anthony. So we've seen you a lot here on the likes of Talking Brawl, Severe MMA, stuff like that. The lads had interviewed you, were jumping in with interviews. But with Bellator, I know you were speaking that you were looking at Pitbull next. That was the idea. You were calling him out after the show. You were sort of saying, originally you were after Strauss because he was the man, he had the belt. Now it's Pitbull. Is that still the idea?
Yeah, that's the goal, man. He's got that gold belt around his waist, so that's who I want, you know. I'm always shooting for that belt. That's the overall achievement, you know. That's the goal that everybody wants. So why do I want to fight anybody else besides the person with that belt?
You spoke after a fight about possibly wanting to get on the London or the New York card. Is that still a possibility? Have you had any talks with Bellator?
If something happens, yeah, man, I'm open to it. I'm ready to go. So if someone falls out, I'm ready to fill in.
But has there been any discussion with Bellator or no? Just more of it if someone falls out?
Yeah, the card's pretty booked from what I've heard.
Yeah. And another guy on your radar, and of course we'll talk a little bit about James because that's the big news, I suppose, and it's the big interest over in Ireland. He had a couple of words for you after his, or on the MMA Hour, I believe it was yesterday.
Our sister podcast,
yeah, good friends. Did you manage to hear the interview we had with Ariel?
I had no clue.
There's a few interesting quotes from it that we have there as well. But like a lot of people as well, like obviously two of you guys, these are similar in so many ways. These are both young, hot prospects, so people are going to talk. But altercations have happened with the two of you as well. And let's be honest, you've had a good bit of back and forth. And for the fans, it's quite interesting as well. Yeah. But like from your end, where did this come about? Because James has spoken about it and you've spoken about it. From your side, there's a few stories that have come out. What's your side of where this argument has come from with yourself and James?
When he had his little beef with Anthony at his gym, he walked up to me and he was like, "You're next, pussy." And I was like, "You're going to regret those words." So we were a little cool since then. And there was no real beef there yet. And then next thing you know, he's calling me a pussy on national television. And that's when you put fuel to the fire, you know?
We've noticed as well here, like James gets a lot of limelight, especially like being so young, signing with Bellator, that a lot of fighters are saying his name to almost get their name out there, if you know what I mean. So is that the idea in a way, as much as you're a young hot prospect as well in Bellator, was that sort of an idea for you? Was it a strategical argument from you to go, let's talk about James, it'll get us noticed and talked about on the likes of Here We Are?
No, because I don't feel like I gained anything from beating him, you know? Just to show that, okay, I am the hottest prospect. But honestly, in my eyes, I don't even feel that I'm a prospect. I feel I'm a contender. So it's like, I feel I've already stepped past that, you know? But it's the level of disrespect where that line's just been crossed, you know? Once you cross that line, you got to get your ass whooped.
What about the story, AJ, about that you went and spoke to James and you told him about Anthony Taylor's game plan for the fight? Is there any truth in that?
That's some more bullshit, because we were both, it was me, Anthony was in the room, and my other teammate, Red. We had just came back from a pub and we were walking in, and literally our rooms were directly across from each other. So yeah, we were in the room, we were talking about McGregor, but The bullshit with Anthony, I don't know where that came from.
Again, is this, you're saying, and I know James has said it too, James is, he was quoted as well on the MMA Hour last night. He was basically saying, look, he doesn't focus on anybody else except who's in front of him. And like what you're saying, he wants a shot at the gold as well. So the two of you are almost singing from the same hymn sheet, but this fight, for me, it does make sense. I can appreciate you're saying, you know, you feel a fight with Gallagher wouldn't gain you. In some way, I have to disagree with that, because James is the big guy here in Europe that Bellator are selling. So if you were to slay that beast, if you know what I mean, that puts you as the big name who beat Gallagher.
Yeah, I feel like it's giving the people what they want.
Yeah. Do you feel it's more of a, I suppose it's squash the beef and maybe just get a bit of more of a name rather than a fight that actually makes sense in terms of getting closer to a title? Do you feel it's more of a name matchup?
Yeah, more of a name matchup for sure. Just because James, he's like McGregor. You all you Irish fans, you guys are faithful, you know? He has a country behind him versus the American people. They just want to be with who's hot and who's on top, you know? So that's the difference. Everyone, I feel the true MMA fans want to see him lose because they feel he's trying to copy McGregor, which I feel he does do a lot of copying McGregor as well. But at the end of the day, you have to be your own person. So, yeah, it is what it is, you know. I'm ready to fight whenever. He said he wanted to fight me, called me a pussy on national television, yet he goes and signs a contract to fight someone else. And then I go get a knockout, and now he's talking about he doesn't want to fight me. He wants to fight Pitbull. I'm like, okay.
There was a lot of talk about contracts and possible matchups between yourselves. Was there ever a contract in place to actually have a fight, or was it more of let's set something up?
No, that's why I'd always tell him, ask for the contract, sign the contract, James. You're talking all this trash, sign the contract.
And speaking of your time over here in Ireland, did you have a good time over here? Would you like to maybe fight over here the next time Bellator come back?
Oh yeah, man, Ireland's amazing. Can't wait to go back.
What did you get up to anything fun over here?
Me and Wanderlei, we were going out, walking around, hanging out. We went to a couple different pubs, a couple different clubs. It was an amazing place. I can't wait to go back. I actually wanted to take my girl out there.
Is that one of the reasons why you spoke about wanting to maybe get on the London card? Because it's so close to here, and obviously you'd have kind of similar type fans. You know, you have that kind of rabid fan base as well in the UK.
I actually didn't really care to fight on the London card. The only reason why I wanted to fight on the London card was because Slice is fighting on the London card as well. So I felt if I'm already going out there, I might as well just hop on the card with him, you know?
Mm. And one of the things you brought up in a few of your interviews recently was your motivation going into fights and your motivation in the gym. You've been doing this for so long and maybe you're getting a little bit bored in the fights and in the gym. What brought that on? Was it just because you were doing it for such a long time and you were getting opponents that didn't really interest you? Or what exactly brought that on, the kind of boredom that you had with the sport?
It was just training every day, every night, you know, training month after month after month. And it's like you finish somebody in 2 minutes and then you go back to the gym to train for another 2-3 months for a fight that you're finishing in 2 minutes. It's like, you're going to get bored, you know? It's like you want to go be a normal 21, 22-year-old. You want to go hang out with your friends. You want to go party. You want to get out, you know? So it's like just training all the time. It gets irritating, and you get bored.
So what changed that? What changed in you that you said your focus has been realigned now? So what was the factor in changing that?
I would say just seeing what's ahead, you know, and how close, honestly, my goals to being achieved are. You know, they're literally 2-3 fights away if I want them to be.
And do you think that you're still flying a little bit under the radar? Because we obviously talked about James, and he's getting a big push with Bellator. And you're 8-0, I believe, in Bellator now at the moment. You basically started your career, your pro career there. Do you think you're still flying slightly under the radar, and maybe you should be getting a little bit more attention, especially if you have great lineage with your father as well, being a great fighter? Do you think you're flying still a little bit under the radar?
A little bit. Just because the last name McKee, you know, if you're not a true MMA fan, you really don't know who Antonio McKee is. But the true MMA fans do know.
Something that, will you be at a Bellator having a historic card, obviously, in New York? I know you were saying you want to get on that, but if you're not on it, will you be in attendance?
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely be there. I haven't been in New York, so I'm looking forward to seeing what that Times Square is like.
And with Bellator in relation to them, obviously, you know, the divide is still there where, you know, we're talking about real MMA fans and casual fans. And, you know, obviously the casual fans see the three letters of the UFC and think that's where it's at. But from you being the 21, 22-year-old guy applying your trade in Bellator, is that the right place for you? Do you eventually see yourself making the move to the UFC, or are you happy at Bellator?
At the moment, I'm happy at Bellator, man. They give me what I want. They look out for me, and they're really about their fighters, you know. Bellator's taken care of me since day one, so I really don't look forward to going anywhere else.
Have you noticed a difference since, like, Scott Coker's been around? Obviously, he's changed a couple of things. They've changed the format of the shows, and they've brought in a lot of big names. Have you noticed that difference even backstage?
A little bit, yeah. I've noticed the difference of the fighters. Everyone's super cool, though. You know, all the fighters are real friendly. Everybody's happy. Everyone walks around. You can literally, if something's going wrong, you can ask anyone from Bellator, and they'll figure it out for you and try to get on top of it. So it's like a home to me. You know, it's where I started. It's where I've been, and it's where I plan on staying.
I sort of get the feeling from you as well, especially from the stories you heard about over here in Dublin as well. Like, you seem like a real approachable, friendly guy, and, you know, outside of it, yeah, when if we're not keen to fight one another, there's no reason why we can't have a laugh, have a joke with another. But when it comes to stepping into the cage and getting the door closed, that's where business comes. Would it be right in thinking that you don't need to hate your opponent as much? I'm sure you're sick of hearing the name James Gallagher at the minute, but do you find, like, are you the type of guy who doesn't need to hate his opponent? You can get on with everyone, but when the cage door does, it's business time?
Exactly, man. I'm such a friendly guy, so it's like, I sit there and laugh, you know? He gets mad and lets me get under his skin, but I feel like I'm picking on my little brother, you know? I'm just doing this all day, getting under his skin, and he just gets so upset, and, like, I just love to do it, you know?
But
so it's comedy to me.
If from a fighting aspect, do you respect the skills?
Of course, you have to respect any fighter, man. Once you step in that cage, a fight's a fight. All it takes is one punch, one kick, and the fight is over, you know? So it doesn't matter if I'm fighting my little sister, you know? It's a fight. Anything can happen at any time.
And so you've nothing lined up at the moment, but realistically, what's in store 2017? Where do you want to be by the time we're all singing Happy New Year to one another? Where are you going to be? Where are you going to feature on the roster and on the rankings?
Ooh, top three. By the end of this year, I want to be top three, getting ready to make that title run, you know? 2017, I got until April. John Jones was the youngest champ ever at 23. I'm 22, so come April, I'll be 23. So I got until then. I got a little bit over 9 months to get in there and get that title around my waist.
And before we let you go, we'll have to ask you about your father as well, because you did speak a bit about getting on the same card as him, and you did say recently as well that it still could happen. Right now, what's the biggest blocker in that? Why can't it happen right now in Bellator? What's the problem? Why won't Scott Coker just put the card on?
I think maybe it was just because of my last couple fights, you know? They weren't... I just didn't seem there, you know? Even with, as a business aspect of my last fight, not the knockout, but the one before that, I wouldn't have put myself on that New York card fighting 3-5s the way I did, you know? It's not good for the entertainment industry of it. And, yeah, now that I'm back on track, getting knockouts and hungry again, I don't see why we can't have that fight happen, father and son, and break some more history records within the next couple of fights.
Excellent. One quick question I ask, because you said it in your last fight, you'll either knock him out in the first or choke him out in the second. Which do you prefer? Do you prefer turning the lights off with a KO, or do you like getting that feeling of him tapping and giving up to you?
Nah, I love making the people go crazy when you get a good knockout, you know? it's what the people want. It's kind of it's like a supply and demand, you know? The people give Bellator what they want, and Bellator gives you what they want, you know? So supply and demand, you make the people happy, the people make Bellator happy, Bellator makes you happy.
You may be very right, and we're Irish, and we get behind our fighters, and, you know, we really do. We obviously are fans of James here, with him being an Irishman, but we're also fans of your work, the what you do. You're such a young guy. I'm glad to hear you say you're refocused, and you're really chasing the belt. When you give yourself a target, that's the best thing, and I look forward to looking at your run at that belt. And at 22 years of age, we got years ahead of watching you, and I look forward to watching them fights.
Thank you very much, man. Thanks for having me, and I look forward to putting on a great show for you guys when that fight happens.
Thanks for that, man.
Cheers. Thanks again. Enjoy the rest of your day.
All right, thanks. Have a good one.
And there you are, ladies and gentlemen. AJ McKee. It's hard to have him on and not talk about James Gallagher. But the fact that James was on our sister show, the MMA Hour with...
I always forget the name, because
MMA,
like,
Hour, isn't it? Yeah, it's a little. If you type in on YouTube,
it's good though.
It is all right. It's actually a good setup.
Yeah, like, I know, like, we're not really selling it.
Yeah,
but it is good.
Yeah, it's this Canadian guy. I want to say his name's Ariel. Ariel.
It's like. Do you remember that Disney? Powder. No, the Disney movie. Yeah. The mermaid.
Oh, the little mermaid, Ariel. Check out MMA Hour with James Gallagher. We clearly are joking. It's the number one MMA podcast in the world. That's right, obviously, Fight Talk. So check out our sister podcast with our friend, Errol Iwani, over on MMA Hour. James was on last night, so it sort of fell. We didn't know James was on MMA Hour.
Yeah, it was
Hour.
So weird. Like it kind of fell at a weird time. We actually mailed AJ the day of... Yeah. And the knockout that he had, and unfortunately I think he went away with his family. He's his family celebrating, so we could only do it this week. And then the whole James thing happened, and it worked out perfect because we obviously
so that's in a way like when we were booking it, we were like, let's not bring him on and talk about James Gallagher all the time. Obviously you have to ask the question, but because James was on MMA Hour, we obviously have to talk to AJ about it.
And I think when he's saying, oh, do you want to come on an Irish MMA podcast? He was like, oh, we're going to talk about James Gallagher. Yeah. It's just going to happen.
But like the way this is, you got AJ, he's a top young American prospect, and you've got James, who's a top young Irish prospect. They fight in the same weight class, in the same promotion. Of course we're going
to
talk about
it. For me, it's similar to, we had Steve Cazzola on the week after he got that big knockout. It was a knockout, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was a decent knockout. Similar thing where Dylan Danis, and everyone was talking about Dylan Danis. We were in a similar situation where we were like, we want to talk about the fight because what we said after the fight, after the interview was, yes, you know, all that's great. He's talking about Dylan Danis and that's what's grabbing the headlines, but go back and watch that fight. Because an amazing finish. Same thing goes.
Same.
Well,
like, we
go back
shared,
and watch AJ McKay's finish.
When AJ finished, I shared it on Facebook saying, one of the hottest prospects just done this. The ball is now in your court, James Gallagher, to see the two of his fight. And it truly is. Like, clearly, we're big Gallagher fans here on, obviously, Fight Talk. The guy is a phenomenal fighter.
And we've had
fighter.
Him on the show as well.
How much hate he gets is beyond
me. And like, coming from people who actually interviewed him, had him in the show, super nice.
Yeah.
Super nice
James
guy.
James was with us, a year ago?
It wouldn't have been long after we had Craig on.
Yeah, super guy. Really nice. He was on the Keane with Dan Hardy and stuff. What a show.
Yeah.
But yeah, James is a super guy, super prospect. Two of them are phenomenal fighters. Like, I've watched James fight from amateur to pro now. Call his first pro fight. Absolute star. And AJ is an absolute star. So will the stars align and will they fight one another?
And maybe they'll make each other a shit ton of money.
That was beautiful. That was nice. The stars align. We're almost making an excuse for talking about it, but you have to talk about it. He was on the sister podcast. He was on the Big Brother podcast. Here we go. That's been a packed show. It's been a little weird this week. We'd like to thank Craig Coakley for coming on. We'd like to thank Aaron Brown for giving Craig Coakley a lift. And then, coming on, Johnny Jitsu, just getting on. Talking about Chuck Liddell, retirement, coming back. Clean shaven, Johnny. Didn't he look handsome?
Oh, yeah.
The little baby-faced beauty. And, of course, AJ McKee coming on. And I mean that when I say to AJ, I look forward to watching fight. Yeah, fair enough. If the two of them fight, we're going to be cheering for Gallagher. But, like, you know, you got to respect, you know, we can be, we're journalists, so we're completely biased. We don't care who wins. Cheering for James. But, like, McKee, absolutely brilliant. His father as well. That'd be class to see them, wouldn't it? Two of them.
Yeah, it'd be amazing to see. And check out Antonio McKee's fights as well. Like, he was a champion outside
Mandingo.
The UFC. he was a champion outside the UFC. And beat a lot of very, very good guys. Did fight in the UFC a couple of times, but wasn't at his best. But, yeah. Great fighter in his own right.
Shout out as always to Fight Star Ireland, the fighter's choice, everything you need under the one roof.
Groin guards,
gloves,
t-shirts,
hash. CBD oil, whatever you need, check them out and tell them the lads from obviously Fight Talk sent you. Tell Stefan and Claire we said hello.
We're gonna get a lot of guards showing up at Fight Star.
Yeah,
are you selling hash? We heard this on some
podcast. And MMAMix.com, they're obviously good because they're with obviously Fight Talk. Mr. Movahedy didn't join us this week because he's busy. Carl, who cares? this has been 65, and thank you. Subscribe and all that. Peace.